Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining me. I am Diane Rosina Jones, and this is Becoming Who I Am. I just wanted to get on here and just breathe and just exhale. And I don't know about you, but this has been a very mentally exhausting week for me. And I'm sure I'm not the only one, many of you. So thank you for taking the time on this morning to join me. I hope you've had your coffee. If not, get your coffee, get your chai, get your tea, get whatever it is that you need. Go ahead and just sit back and relax and enjoy this conversation, this workshop. If you'd like to be able to just kind of step away from your computer and listen to the show, you can by calling 760-695-5620. Once again, that'll enable you to just call in. You don't have to hit any prompts. You can just call in and be able to listen to the show. Certainly, if you want to be in the queue, you can do that. And I'll see if I can get it right on this week. And if you want to be on the air, I'll certainly bring you on the air if you have questions, comments, suggestions, anything of that nature. But, you know, I know many of you call in. You already have the number. Thank you for your devotion, for your support. And many of you just call in and listen to the show each week. I certainly appreciate you. I appreciate you from the bottom of my heart. I don't even want to get to, you know, I have been in a place where, you know, I'm trying to even control my emotions now. I might just start crying on you, but I don't want to do that, at least until we get further in the show. It has been an emotional week. Yes, it has. So I do want to say thank you. I don't take your support for granted. I don't take your comments, your suggestions, your presence for granted. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So once again, the chat room is open for those of you who want to join me in the chat room. You certainly can do that. Certainly, if you're online, I love you and appreciate you. And once again, if you'd like to call, you can call, and that way you can listen on your phone and just step away from the computer if you'd like. And that's 760-695-5620. Okay? And certainly, I'm just going to give you a moment. I'm really giving myself a moment. And by giving myself a moment, then I'm giving you a moment to get ready for the show on today. This morning, it just happens, you know how much I believe in synchronicity. So this morning, the universe has orchestrated that I do the workshop on the spoils of war, which is many of you who have read my book know that this chapter is mainly about the battle, the fight, the that ensued, you know, on behalf of my son as a mother when we lived in Baltimore, when he was being enticed by the streets of Baltimore, how I had to go into a certain spiritual posture to even connect and reconnect with him. So it's you know, I know it's synchronicity. I know it's the universe's way of lining all things up that I would be on that chapter this week after everything that has been going on in Baltimore this week. If you don't know what was going on in Baltimore this week, then you must be living under a rock, and I really appreciate you coming out from under the rock to listen to my show. So, you know, many of you even saw on the news, they made a national thing out of it, the mother who went and got her son from the riot, you know, and basically beat his butt all the way home. Sweetheart, those of you who saw that on the news for the first time and think, oh, that mother, she's so courageous, look at her, she's doing that doggone thing. Sweetie, that has been the black mother for ages, okay? That has been the stance of the black mother, whether single mother or married, for as long as I can remember. That was the stance of my mother, okay? And I was born in the 60s. I'll just leave it there. So, and my mother would come out into the streets and get me if she had to, okay? So that, we applaud mainstream media for the recognition that a black mother will do what she has to do to protect her son, her black son, her black children. But let's not get it twisted. Black mothers for ages have been doing just that. So I don't want to get too far into that. But my chapter on Spoils of War actually dealt with my relationship between me and my son when he was a teenager and we lived in Baltimore, when he was being enticed by what I call, what some of us call, the streets of Baltimore. Okay. So I find it certainly that synchronicity has created this moment in time that I could share this story with you. As a black mother who lived in Baltimore for 12 years, of an only son who's a young black male in his 20s, who actually lives in the neighborhood where he lives in that neighborhood now, where the CVS was torched, was looted and burned, I am one of those black mothers. And I'm going to tell you the truth. This week I had a panic attack. I've not had a panic attack since the 90s. I had a panic attack. I was at the office. All of a sudden, the tears started to flow. I could not breathe for a moment. I began to hyperventilate. And, you know, I had to announce my panic attack, though. I actually, okay, I'm so consciously aware, I felt it coming on, but I couldn't stop it. Come on now, I'm just telling you the truth. You know, in the 90s, the first time I had one, I did not know what it was. You know, so I actually went to the emergency room because I thought I was having a heart attack. However, you know, this past week when I was in the office, you know, I felt my emotions coming up, surfacing to the top, overflowing. And I talked to a few of my sisters, especially my sister friends who are mothers of young black men, and we all had that same experience this week. There was an overflow of emotions just under the surface, just bubbling up. Not a rage, not a riotous rage, so don't y'all get it twisted, but an emotion, a wailing almost, a you know, some of the old church mothers would know what I'm referring to when I say a wailing. A cry, if you will, that was just bubbling up within me, and I was sitting at my desk typing. So I sent an instant message to one of my coworkers, and I said, I introduced my panic attack. I said, okay, I'm having, you know, some feelings over here. I can't control my tears. They keep flowing, and I'm starting to hyperventilate. I believe I'm having a panic attack, but I can't stop it. So the introduction to others was the fact that at that very moment, my emotions just, I could not stop the emotions that I felt at that time in regards to all that was going on. So this week, yes, on the Spoils of War, let me set for you the tone of the chapter, and then we'll get back, because it goes hand in hand with Baltimore, because it is about my relationship with my son in his teens when we lived in Baltimore, and the lengths that I felt I had to go to in order to protect him, even when he didn't feel he needed to be protected, because that's what black mothers do. So do not, by any means and circumstance, think that the sister, I commend the sister that whipped her son all the way home, but don't think for instance that black mothers don't go out into those streets and get their children every day. It just so happened that that was caught on video by the mainstream media. But, baby, we have been in the streets for years getting our children, okay? And let's not make any mistake about it. So, all right. Now, let's get to the book. This week, we're on Spoils of War. From my book, Tragic Treasures, Discovering Spoils of War in the Midst of Tragedy. If you have not been following along with the workshop, you certainly still can. This book is a quick read. It's not easy in regards to the topic, but it's quick as in regards to the fact that the entire book is only about 127 pages. It's not too late for you to go out, get your copy. Certainly, you can go to my website. That is www.royaltreasurespublishing.com. Order a autographed copy. You can go to Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Books A Million, wherever, iTunes. You can get the book. You can download it as well as buy hard copies. You can download to Kindle, Nook, iTunes, on your iPad, all of that good stuff. Any device that you have, electronic device, baby, you can find books published by Royal Treasures Publishing. That's Tragic Treasures and Dancing with the Universe and more that will be coming out next year. So certainly you can do that. You can join us in this workshop. Each workshop, even though it is the book, the compilation of the different chapters, they stand alone. You can do one workshop. You can do them all. Also, while I'm on the air, you can reach out to me. You can tweet me at DieJones247. Baby, I'm on Google Plus. That's Die Jones as well. I'm on Facebook, Diane Rosina Jones. You can send me a comment or post a comment. I'll see it on my page if we're friends. If not, certainly go to Transforming Life Institute Facebook page as well. I'm also on LinkedIn. That's Diane Rosina Jones. I am also, you can go to my website, Transforming Life Institute. Become a VIP member. Become a free subscriber. Go to the community forum. Let's hear your opinion. I love to hear what you have to say in regards to the shows, in regards to my blogs, regards to everything. I think I just got so caught up in everything that was going on in April that I may have missed the blog this month. I'm down to writing them about once a month. I don't believe that I've written one for the month of April. I feel that I'll probably have to write one today in regards to what has transpired this past week, because really, it really did affect me in a way that I had not realized. And, you know, tears just flowed. So, these are all of the ways that you can reach out to me, all of the ways that you can connect with Transforming Life Institute, where we transform lives one thought at a time, all of the ways that you can get a hold of the books published by Royal Treasures Publishing. This is all of the ways that you can connect with me while we're on the show, get to all of the workshops that are already on Blog Talk Radio that you can listen to and download and all that good stuff. Get your books, all that. I've gotten all the service announcements out of the way. So we've gotten our service announcements out of the way. And I think that I've talked long enough that I won't start crying, because I wanted to kind of get myself into a place where I could really go ahead and do this workshop and not get too close into that space that I felt on Friday that had me in tears by the end of the week. Okay, so now the chapter on the spoils of war. If you've read it, you know that really it's one of the main focus points of the book, because the book is Tragic Treasures, Discovering Spoils of War in the Midst of Tragedy. Now, for those of you who don't recall or don't know what the definition of spoils of war is, I'm going to read the chapter from the Bible that inspired me in many ways to write the book and give you the definition so you can get a concept of idea of what I'm referring to when I talk of spoils of war. And then we'll move on from there. So I'm going to read this, actually, okay? And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoils of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. So this is the basis and premise behind the spoils of war. We find that King Jehoshaphat goes to war, goes to battle, but when he gets to the battlefield, he finds dead things, dead bodies. Everyone's already dead. So the dead things represent the tragedies, the things, the tragic moments, the tragic consequences that we may encounter. However, in the midst of the dead things were spoils of war. So in the midst or among those dead things were both riches and precious jewels. So they stayed among the dead things 3 days gathering the spoils of war because it was so much. So even in the midst of the most tragic of situations, because death for us is the ultimate, right? So even in the midst of that, there were spoils of war, riches, precious jewels. And they had to stay. They even had to stay in the midst of that tragedy a little while in order to find the spoils of war. So sometimes, a lot of times, I don't want to say all the time. I won't say all. I almost said it, though, because I wanted to. However, 99% of the time, even in the most tragic of situations, we must take inventory in the midst of the situation so that we don't forget, overlook, or fail to discover the spoils of war, the riches, the abundance of things, the jewels, the precious jewels in the midst of that. As we get to later, there's a few more chapters in this workshop that will reveal for most of the times the spoils of war are not physical possessions. So let's just get that out the way. But I won't discuss that in depth today. Most of the times in our most tragic situations, in our most tragic moments, in our most tragic consequences, the problem is that we think the spoils of war should manifest in physical ways, when really a lot of times the spoils of war are not physical possession. You may come out with an open heart, more open to love, forgiveness, acceptance, you see, tolerance, things of that nature. Those are spoils of war, joy, peace. Those are spoils of war, but we'll get into what is or consider a spoil of war later. Today we're going to talk about what it means to what type of posture you have to be in to even recognize a spoil of war. So today is about when I'm in the midst of what I'm in, when the tragedy has occurred, when the tragic moment presents itself, when the tragic consequence has been made, what do I recognize in that moment other than pain? What do I recognize in that moment other than suffering? What do I see in that moment other than the negative? What do I feel in that moment other than that thing that can destroy me or take me under? That's what it means in this chapter when we talk about spoils of war, how to identify that which will make me stronger and not bitter, that which will make me better and not bitter, that which will make me, you see, will cause me to become, expand, transform, transcend. How do I recognize that which will cause me to transcend the ordeal, to transform in spite of the ordeal, to expand in a positive way because of the ordeal? How do I recognize that? So that's what this chapter is all about when we talk about spoils of war. I may not get into the depths of what exactly happened with me and my son. You may have to purchase the book in order to read it. However, I will give you the concept of the chapter that you can apply to your own life. So if the scripture was the basis for this chapter, or basis for the book, really. And if you want to read this scripture, this is not necessarily, this is not for the Christian only, so to speak. This is for the person who understands that spirituality is an important aspect of their lives, no matter what traditional, denominational, or affiliations they may have. This is for that person. So you can read this scripture in the Bible knowing that that does not mean that you have to convert from whatever it is that you believe because you read this. You can pull it up on the internet. That's 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and the verse, the main verse is 24 through 25. Now, if you read the entire chapter, you get a gist of the book, what the book is based upon, first of all, because we know that King Jehoshaphat, a multitude came against him. He fasted, he prayed, he asked God what to do. And God said, you know, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord. A lot of us know that scripture. So then all he did preparing for this battle was pray and fast, and he sent the praise and worshipers out before him on his way to the battle. Now, see, the things about this is that he still had to show up for the battle. He could not avoid or stick his head in the sand or deny that there was a battle or act like there's not a battle. So here's a spiritual concept that I want you to get from the chapter. When it comes to the spoils of war, when it comes to the ordeal, the situation, the battle, whatever you want to call it in your life, you cannot win, you cannot recover spoils of war or discover spoils of war by ignoring it. You cannot put your head in the sand. You cannot act like it's not happening. You cannot live in denial. You cannot pretend it does not exist. Illusions are not a defense mechanism. Illusions, living in a spirit of illusion, living in a spirit of denial, does not help you overcome or expand or transcend or transform when a situation occurs in your life. So know that the only way that you can discover spoils of war in your life, the only way that you can expand, transform, transcend, I'm using these and I'm saying these same words over and over again because we know that repetition is the key to our memory. We know that the number of times you hear something, when you hear it over and over again, that really it takes many of us a certain number of times to hear the same thing before we really get it. That's why I am such a advocate for not only meditation, but for mantras, for positive mantras, because we know that actually we have to speak a thing more than once. We have to speak it numerous times before we actually really get it. Okay? So understand that there is no way, none whatsoever. Now, let me break it down. In this chapter, God did tell King Jehoshaphat that the battle was his, was the Lord's, okay? The battle was not his, was the Lord's. But he didn't tell him, you ain't got to prepare and you ain't got to show up. He didn't say you don't have to be in a posture to defend that which is yours. He did not say you don't have to be in a posture to fight. He didn't say, okay, don't worry about it. Act like it don't exist. I got it. He said, the battle's not yours. It's the Lord's. However, Jehoshaphat had to show up. Jehoshaphat had to prepare. Jehoshaphat and his army had to fast, had to pray. See, they praised and they worshiped. Why they did this? This is why they did this. I'm going to break that down in a minute, but let me read one more thing from my chapter. Then we'll discuss why, in order to discover the spoils of war, you have to be in a certain spiritual posture. Now, God may be fighting your battle. Many of us say God fighting our battle, but we feel like we can just be clueless, ignore it, deny it, live in a world of illusion, and God got it. Now, God fights the battle, but you have to be present. See, you can't discover the spoils of war if you're not even present. You see, there's always spoils of war. Always. There's no such thing as a battle. There is no such thing as a war. There is no such thing as a fight. Now, we're going to think about it in the literal. There is no such thing as a battle, a war, or a fight that does not have spoils of war. And what I mean by that is that even when soldiers go into battle, they take with them their weapons, their tanks, their guns, their ammo, their food, their medicine, their communication devices, things of that nature. So even if the enemy comes in and slaughters all of them, their guns, their devices, their communication, their food, their medicine, their vehicles are left. And those would be considered spoils of war. You see? So there is no such thing as there not being spoils of war. But the key is you have to actually show up prepared in a certain spiritual posture where you can heed divine guidance in order to be able to discover the spoils of war in your life. You can't hide. You cannot run. You cannot pretend. You cannot live in denial. You cannot act as if it does not exist. You have to prepare. You have to be in a certain posture. You have to be ready, you see, to discover. Discovering the spoils of war requires preparation. You ain't just going to stumble up on something. You're not just going to stumble up on it. You have to prepare. So, here we go. I'm going to read this real quick from the chapter, Spoils of War. In 2 Chronicles 20, chapter 20, that is, verses 1 through 37, you find King Jehoshaphat confronted with the threat of defeat by a multitude that had come against Judah. He knew from the beginning the battle could never be won in the flesh, so he went into the spirit realm to prepare for the fight of his life. He went on a fast, and they prayed before the battle started. Spiritual warfare is one of our most powerful weapons. Many of our battles are lost or won based upon our own spiritual posture. Our spiritual posture is dependent solely upon our receptiveness to divine guidance. Divine guidance enables us to properly identify the source of the conflict. Now, let me do this. Let me give you a new enlightened definition of what spiritual warfare is. Many of us were raised and taught to believe that spiritual warfare was the spiritual battle you got with the devil because he then came against you baby, the devil and all his imps is after you, and that's what spiritual warfare is. And many of us, the devil don't have to come nowhere near us because our mind is so, our spirit and our mind and our soul, you see, our spiritual core is so disconnected from the Creator, from divine guidance, until the spiritual warfare is you fighting with you. To even get to a place where you hear God, you fighting with your ego. Baby, the devil ain't messing with you because your ego is so out of control until the enemy, the spiritual adversary that we like to categorize as the devil, that's a whole nother show, doesn't have to mess with you because your ego is so out of control. Your spiritual core is in such a weakened state. You see, your spirit, your mind, your heart, your soul, all that is in such a disarray until you're fighting with yourself. So the spiritual warfare that most of us have to overcome is us. fighting, struggling, battling, learning how to get ourselves into a spiritual posture where we can not only hear what spirit would say, what God would say, what God consciousness, what God mind, what the divine within us would say, but that we would believe it. So most of us, your spiritual warfare is just that. You're not in a posture to hear divine guidance. And when divine guidance is given, you don't believe it, so you don't obey it. So then you make a different choice other than what divine posture or divine guidance is saying. So that's your battle. Boo, the enemy ain't after you because you're busy struggling with you. You're busy fighting you. You're busy fighting your own ego. You're busy fighting your own shadow. You ain't even got past your ego into the spirit realm to fight with the enemy. If there could ever be such an entity that would have that much power over you, and I'm going to tell you, I say it like that because even the word of God says that God, that the Creator gave us dominion, okay, over the earth. See, now we done gave that dominion away to the adversary, or someone we say is an adversary. Anyway, because I don't have an adversary because I understand who God created me to be. All right, so when we understand that, you know, then, and we are able to control our ego, and understand the role and how to control our shadow, and get to a place of divine guidance and divine connection. Then you might actually have a spiritual adversary after you, but you ain't even there. So it's like the enemy doesn't have anything to worry about because you're fighting with you. So now that we have that established, now that we got the spiritual warfare established, the warfare is you warring within yourself to get to a place of recognition, to recognize that you are the Son of God, hey, that you are the daughter of God, that you see that within you, the greater is he that's in you that's in the world. Come on now, that's what the scriptures say. If we want to go scriptural, if you want to get biblical, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So if the adversary is in the world, or even if you think the adversary has control of the world, you know, then the word still says greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So the spiritual warfare thing is us battling with us. So now let's talk about how to understand that, how to use that in such a way that we can seek and hear divine guidance, and then how to move forward in the revelation of the divine guidance in such a way that we get those spoils of war. Okay? So now we understand that when, and I'm using the term battle and fight and all of that, but, you know, those of you who have read my second book, you know that I don't even believe that's life, you know. And what I mean by that is that I firmly believe that the only, when it comes to life and this struggle and this battle, it's only as much of a struggle or a battle as you believe it to be. Period. So, in just thinking in regards to that, and the spoils of war, and knowing that no matter what situation you come up against, you actually have to be present. You actually have to prepare. You actually have to show up in the reality of whatever the situation is. You actually have to accept what is happening. You follow me? And then once you decide you're going to show up, your preparation is connecting to your source, connecting to the Creator, connecting to God. There is no way to win, I should say, the battle, identify the source, discover the spoils of war, especially not in the midst of sure enough tragedy, unless you truly can connect with your divine source, because it is in that connection with God, it is in that connection with Spirit, you see, that spoils of war are revealed, are discovered. I'm not even going to play with you. I'm not even trying to pull the wool over your eyes. I'm not trying to be funny. But there's absolutely no way to discover spoils of war in the midst of tragedy if you are not connected to God. If you, and when I say not connected, we know that we all are, but what I mean by that is if your spiritual core is weakened and you are not connected in a way in which you can hear from God, that Spirit can speak to Spirit, then it's almost like, okay, God is speaking because He always is, but you can't hear Him. And if you can't hear Him, then you can't be encouraged in the midst of the battle. If you can't hear Him, then you don't know that it's almost over. If you can't hear Him, then, and I'm using Him just as, you know, as a metaphor, because we know God is Spirit, okay? So really, but if you can't hear Him, then you don't know the battle's not yours. It's the Lord. If you can't hear Him, then you don't know that you already have the victory. You see, I'm just breaking it down for you. If you can't hear Him, then you don't know any of those things. And those are the things that cause us to give up in the midst of the situation or the struggle or the battle. Those are the things that cause us to let go, to fall by the wayside, to make the tragic choices and tragic decisions. Those are the things that cause us to forget who it is that we are. Those are the things that cause us to respond to shadow and ego. Because God is speaking, but because of our weakened spiritual state, we don't hear Him. And when we don't hear Him, we can't possibly find the spoils of war. There's absolutely no way for us to recover the spoils of war without divine guidance. Because now remember, if you're in a battle situation and you're going to battle, to the battlefield, as King Jehoshaphat and Judah were going, if you can't hear the commander, if the communication device between you and the commander, you see, has been severed, has been, something has happened to it, then when you are going to the field to the battlefield, you don't know what's happening. You don't know if the enemy's on the left. You don't know if the enemy's on the right. You don't know if the enemy's in front of you. You don't know any of that because you're disconnected from your communication source. You're disconnected from the commander. You know? So, and when you're disconnected like that, then that means there could be more loss of life. There could be more tragedies. There could be, and there be almost an impossibility of you being able to discover the spoils of war. You see? So connecting to your source is crucial. It's key. It has to happen. Absolutely has to. And there's absolutely no way to discover spoils of war without connecting. So the bit of example that I do have in regards to that is, because I don't want to tell the whole thing, I want you to actually go ahead and purchase the book. If you want this story to find out in regards to me and my son, I will say this, that we know that all of our children, when they are teenagers, that's a very crucial time in their lives, critical time for us as parents, critical time for them. And with a limited understanding of what they are going through as teenagers, what they're experiencing, or what type of peer pressure they may be under, we may be tempted to respond to the situation as we were taught, you know, as our parents, which was really with a disregard for them as human beings. And what I mean by that, I don't mean that in the way of harmful disregard for life, but we weren't taught to talk to our children as if they were little people. Children were supposed to be quiet. They didn't, you know, you don't talk back to adults. You didn't have certain conversations with adults and different things like that. It's almost like we thought for some reason that our children didn't experience the same emotions that we experienced because they were children. They didn't experience fear or depression or, you know, pressure or a need to please and approve, and that all these emotions that we feel as adults, we acted as if children were void of those. So because they're void of those, they don't exist, they don't have those pressures, which we know is not true, then there's no need to discuss those pressures. There's no need to address those pressures because they're just children. But we know now, most of us know, thank goodness, that just is not true. However, it took me a while. Before I got that, my son was a teenager and, you know, hanging 4 or 5 deep with his crew in Baltimore. And I was losing him. For me, it was like I was losing him to the streets. And I did not know what to do, how to win that battle, how to win him back, how not to lose that connection to him. I began to try and fight that battle in my own strength through my ego and what I thought I knew based upon just me being the mother and him being the child, based upon the old theory of power and control. You follow me? You just do what I say do. That's how it's supposed to be. That did not work, and that does not work. You know, in extreme circumstances, yes, we know, like that mother did take charge. I had those moments where I actually stalked my son. He will tell you that I stalked him. I am proud to say I stalked him in the streets of Baltimore. I went where he went. I found him when I needed to find him. I brought him home when I needed to bring him home. I threatened to go into places behind him and embarrass him out of there. I did whatever I thought I needed to do at that time in order to save him from the streets of Baltimore, or so I thought. But here's what happened in the midst of all of that power struggle, because it's a power struggle, that control thing. When I'm just going to use control, I'm just going to use power, because he's a child, so then all he has to worry about is obeying me. Like, he does not go through all of the emotions, all of the fears, all of the heartache that I go through just because he's a child. Nowadays, I would have to say that our youth, our young folk, go through more than we went through. You see? And just because they're children does not mean that they don't experience the same emotions that we experience in regards to the tragedies, the tragic circumstances, the tragic consequences, the tragic moments of life. When we get that, then maybe we will deal with them differently. I know that I was losing this battle for the most precious gift, the most precious jewel, the most precious diamond that I ever had, which is my son. I was losing. In the midst of this battle, in the midst of this war, I was trying to use power and control and manipulation as a parent to force him to be, force him to become, force him to conform to who it is that I thought and was told that he should be at that phase in his life, and it was not working. So what I had to do was shift my spiritual posture, because I was attempting to control and manage and manipulate the relationship based upon my ego and the shadow. Oh, yes, ego. Ego says, I am in control. You are a child. You will do as I say. You will do this because I said do it, and you will do it with the quickness or else. He ain't listened to none of that. The ego said all that. He wasn't listening to none of that. And I realized that I was losing the most precious spoil of war, you see, that I was in the midst of this battle, and I was losing. And I would miss out if I did not shift my spiritual posture to a place where I could hear divine guidance and use the guidance that is provided in order to win the relationship, to change the relationship with my son. So I started to, you know, for me, and I'm not saying everybody doesn't have to, I'm not advocating that you do what I did. I'm advocating that when you get into the midst of a situation, into the midst of a storm, into the midst of a struggle, a battle, a fight, whatever you want to call it, a conflict, an experience, because really it's experience. But see, I got that on my second book. The first book is about the battle. The second book is about the experience, okay? And Dancing with the Universe is about the experience, knowing that all things are experience, and we deem them good, bad, ugly, you see. But at this phase, we're talking about when, for me, it was a battle. So I know, it's for real. I know there's some things in our life, it's a battle, okay? It's a struggle. But at one point when I realized, okay, I am losing this battle, I understood I had to get into a spiritual posture to hear from God in order to gain some information as to how I could shift who I was being in that moment in order to win the battle. Now, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that everything has been perfect since that time, that there has been no struggles, there have been no missteps, there have been no tragic consequences to bad decision making. There has been. However, but even in the midst of him growing up, and I'm talking about my son, our relationship has only gotten stronger. Our relationship has only gotten tighter. Our connection, you see, so that spoil of war, the spoil of war that I recovered in the midst of that battle, once I shifted my focus to divine guidance and sought God direction in regards to how to handle the situation, ensure that no matter what comes now through hell and high water, I will never lose the spoil of war that I recovered in the midst of that tragic moment, which is my son. To this day, we are closer than we've ever been, and we get closer each and every time we talk. But at that time, I was using ego. I was using control. I was using manipulation. I was using, you see, all kinds of stuff to get him to do what I want him to do, to be where I want him to be, to behave how I want him to behave. And I remember after connecting firmly each night, I would begin to connect firmly with spirit, pray, maybe read the Bible, maybe quote some scriptures or something like that, because I wasn't sleeping at night because I was terrified. I was being terrified. I'm using the word terrified, and I mean that. I was being terrified by images and thoughts of what would happen in regards to my son on the streets of Baltimore. I've been there long enough to know. So I was being terrified. And in order to overcome that, I had to connect to the divine God within and allow God to speak over that which my ego was saying. Allow spirit to rise up over ego, over shadow, and speak and hear and then obey. And then the things that I started to do started to shift the relationship with me and my son. Because I remember clearly when I heard spirit say, "With loving kindness have I drawn thee. With loving kindness have I drawn thee." And I thought, And spirit was saying that to me, you know, "With loving kindness have I drawn thee." So then I knew my answer for drawing my son was loving kindness, not, "Oh, let you do anything you want to do" kind of thing. I'm not referring to that. But operating from a place of love, not control, not manipulation, not ego, but love. So saying and doing all things out of love, basing every decision out of love, going whatever direction that you're choosing to go, make sure that it's done out of love. This is what Spirit was saying to me. I'm telling you, this is how I won. This is how, you see, what I discovered in the midst of the situation, in the midst of the tragic moment, in the midst of the tragic consequences, and it was tragic. I won't go into all the details of what happened. Get the book and read it. But what I discovered in the midst of that is I discovered one of the spoils of war was unconditional love. And when I sought and I began to provide and give unconditional love to my son, it shifted his perception. It shifted who he was being. It shifted who I was being. And he began to give unconditional love to me and I to him. And both of our lives changed for the better. And our lives have forever been changed due to that shift. And that shift in the midst of that tragedy, in the midst of that situation, in the midst of that conflict or battle or fight or whatever you want to call it, would not have taken place if I hadn't realized that I needed to shift my spiritual posture, connect with my divine self, connect with the God consciousness, hear from God, and respond accordingly, not in accordance with what everyone else dictates I should do. because I got a lot of opinions on how I should proceed, what I should do, how I should handle it. And I did none of those things. And I believe that if I had responded in the way in which many people said I should, then I probably would not have a relationship at all with my son today. So when you think of, as we wrap up this show today, and you think of the spoils of war, and you think of the many things that you've been through, and it's not too late. See, that's what I want to say, too, is that even after the fact, many of us will not discover the spoils of war while we're in the midst of. You know, the story with King Jehoshaphat was a great story because it gave an illustration of what happens when you're in the midst of. As soon as they got to the battlefield, they realized there were dead things, but they immediately realized there were spoils of war. They stayed there, and they recovered the spoils of war. For many of us, unfortunately, we may not realize it when we're in the midst of, but understand that it is never too late to recover all. If you have, in fact, gone through something where you feel there has been a loss, okay, here we go. I'm going to end it on this. Think about this. If you have, in fact, gone through anything where you feel there has been a loss, that you have lost something or someone, okay, and I don't want to say even if you feel, if there has been, because many times we have lost something and someone. If you have not been able to recover not one positive thing from that experience, then it's not too late for you to go back and discover the spoils of war. They're still there. And maybe you'll even see more be revealed to you than what you thought, you see, or what you expect. Let me read this prayer, and I'm going to tell you what I want to ask you to do this coming week. Okay? Here's the prayer that goes along with the chapter on the spoils of war. Divine Spirit, it's hard to see any treasures in the midst of this tragic mess called my life. I'm overcome by loss, pain, disappointment, and constantly reminded of my flaws and failures. Help me to recognize the spoils of war. Empower me with the strength to pursue tragic treasures in the midst of the dead things of my past. I need your divine guidance concerning what to pursue. Teach me how to develop a spiritual posture that is receptive to the Spirit's voice. Many of my relationships appear to be rubbish. I will go back again to recover true treasures by the power of the Spirit within me. Now, I'd like for you, I'm going to put this prayer on my website. Forgive me. I realize that I did not post the prayer from last week. I'm going to put them both on the website, and I am actually doing that as we speak. What I want you to do this week in your journal that you have, make a list of the spoils of war that you've left behind, that you think you have. And what I mean by that is create a list of some of the more recent tragic treasures that you've been through. I would have to say, let me back up, and I don't want to see tragic treasures. Create a list of the things that still hurt you. This is how we're going to get to it real quick. Create a list of the experiences you've had that still cause you pain, that still bring you pain because they're not causing it, but still the experiences that you've had that still activate. I'm getting ready to get in there now. Make a list of the experiences that you've had that still activate the pain that you're carrying. That's how you say it. Just a few, the most things that activate the pain that you're carrying. And now pray, connect with divine guidance, meditate on that, meditate on what you put on the list, ask God to reveal to you spoils of war in the midst of that situation. And just write this stuff down. Don't analyze it. Don't judge it. Don't reword it. Don't try and understand it all at the beginning. Just write down what Spirit said. Let it sit for a while, then go back to the journal, and you'll be, and then ask Spirit to illuminate your understanding of what you wrote down, so you'll get it. And so then God will begin to reveal into your spirit the spoils of war, you see, in the midst of that which you had gone through. So once again, make sure you write down those experiences that have activated the pain that you still carry. And when you've written that down, pray that God would reveal to you spoils of war in regards to it. Write down those things that Spirit speaks into your heart in regards to it. Leave it. Come back to it. Ask Spirit to illuminate your understanding in regard to that which you've written down. And listen. Listen, accept, and believe, and then move forward based upon what is illuminated and revealed unto you. Okay? Next week we'll be back to do it again. I am going to put both prayers on my website now on Transforming Life Institute. That's prayer from last week's workshop and this week's workshop. I am going to write a blog today. One from last month that I did not get to is going out today. I'm going to write another one by the end of the month. We'll see what's still going on at the end of the month. I want to say to all my Baltimore mothers, and this is not, I'm using the term Baltimore mothers, but this is to all mothers, all mothers. I don't want to leave mothers out of any other color, but right now I want to speak to my, when I say Baltimore mothers, those mothers that have young black sons. I know you've done what that sister did that got the on CNN before. I applaud you for doing it. And after the cameras are gone, when CNN is gone and Fox is gone and MSNBC is gone and everything is back to the way it used to be and you're out in the streets looking for your children, know that in solidarity, other mothers, we stand with you. We have been there. We have done that. And baby, go get your spoils of war. You hear me? In the midst of all tragic circumstances and situations, go get your child. And we stand with you in spirit as you go and get your baby. And know that as you connect to your divine source, I know that sister was cussing and swinging, but you ain't seen nothing until you see a woman, a mother, out there fighting for the life of her child. You ain't seen a thing. Okay, so I'm going to end on that note, and hopefully this week I won't be having any panic attacks. I will say this, my son is fine. He was at the protest prior to the riots. He made sure that he did not go home on the night of the riots. He has been fine each and every day, even though he was posting pictures of him at the protest, and each time my heart was skipping a beat and all that other good stuff, you know. He calmed me down, told me to get a hold of myself, you know, threatened to block me if I didn't leave him alone. I finally got myself together. We had a wonderful conversation yesterday and talked about something other than the events of the week. So in all that, in everything that's going on, in all that you have gone through, in all that you have experienced, in all that you may have to go through, understand that the right spiritual posture will take you through it, not only take you through it, but bring you out of it victorious and bring you out of it with precious jewels and diamonds that you didn't even go into it with. Know that there's not a battle that you can go through, not a storm that you can go through, nothing that can come against you, where when connected to your source, you can't come out victorious with the victory. I'm not saying you'll come out without loss. I'm sorry, baby. I'm sorry. There's no such thing as no loss. But I'm saying you can come out better, not bitter. Okay? I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I hope that this week brings you peace, joy, love, harmony. I hope that this week you discover spoils of war in your life, in the midst of your most tragic circumstance, even if you're too close to the situation in order to experience it at this moment. I hope that you will, in fact, find it. When the pain has subsided, when the tears have stopped, when the dust has settled, when you connect to your spiritual source, your divine God within the God mind, know that when the dust settles, when the storm ceases, when the clouds are rolled back, in the midst of all the tears, the pain, you'll still be able to find the spoils of war. Look for those each and every day. Look for them in every situation. Look for them in every circumstance. Look for them in every, you see, look for in every conflict. Ask God, ask Divine Spirit to reveal them to you. And you will find that your life will never be the same. You'll find that you understand the mysteries of being here. Come on now, I'm just getting deep and I'm telling you the truth. When you understand that there is nothing, no experience that you have that does not yield spoils of war, you'll understand some of the mysteries of life that some people never get on this journey, that they never understand, that they never comprehend how Trayvon Martin's mother can go to meet the mothers of others who have lost their children when her son was so viciously killed and his killer is still walking around doing what he do. You'll never understand that mother until you understand the concept that even in the midst of your darkest hour, there are spoils of war in the midst of tragedy. I don't know about you. I could not have planned this. I did not plan this. You know I couldn't plan it. But know that this is what we call synchronicity, when God allows things to come together and they seem like it was planned and orchestrated perfectly. Know that this week could not have been planned, but this workshop was already planned for this time frame. So know that whoever it is that may be listening, that there could be no better lesson, object lesson, than to think on the mothers of Baltimore, of young black men in Baltimore, and the mothers that have lost their children, and the mothers, and we can go even further back. I don't want to stay on the show because we're not even talking about a black thing now. Even like the mother that was responsible for MAD. Okay, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. At some point, she suffered tragic loss. But in the midst of that loss, she discovered, you see, the spoils of war, which led to her living her life in such a way going forward that there was a law created, a bill passed, an organization developed that would help, that would fuel, that would enable, that would inspire, that would encourage, and that would come against and support, you see, and prevent is more mothers from losing their children to drunk drivers, because, and that was because of the loss she experienced. So I wish I could say that there will be more, no more loss when you connect in that way. I can't say that. But I can say that you'll see loss differently. Maybe not in the midst of your tears, certainly not. But at some point, when the dust settles, you'll see the spoils of war in the midst of the dead thing. I pray that you never have to, but I pray that if you ever do, you remember the words that I speak today. I love you, and I'm out of here. Namaste.